You are tuned to KGVM Bozeman, Gallatin Valley Community Radio.
This land is your land, and this land is my land. California.
As part of a national effort, veterans and their supporters rallied at the nation's capital as well as state capitals in all 50 states at noon on March 14, 2025, to stand up for the protection of veterans programs such as the Veterans Crisis Line, which are endangered as specified in Project 2025 by the current administration. As of February 2024, the VA employed over 400,000 people, reflecting the sheer number of veterans in need of care. Many of these veterans served in Iraq and Afghanistan, wars that left long-lasting physical and psychological scars on those who fought. According to a leaked memo, the Trump administration's plan to cut 83,000 jobs at the Department of Veterans Affairs, a move that critics say would severely impact medical care and support services for veterans. KGVM was in Helena for the Veterans Rally and recorded audio, selections of which we share with you. It was cold and very windy, with snow flurries flying and the hardware on the flagpole constantly clanging over the voices of the speakers in the crowd, amplifying the emergency nature of our national situation. As the veterans were rallying in front of the state capitol in Helena, in Hamilton, Montana, the official grand opening of the new VA clinic was being celebrated. Providing 8,000 square feet of space, it increased the size of the old clinic by 600%, and according to a report from August of 2022, it would be offering multiple services from primary care, women's health, to outpatient mental health therapy, laboratory and telehealth services. The new clinic will allow services to an additional 700 veterans. As then-chairman of the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee and a senior member of the Senate Appropriations Committee, Senator John Tester was the only member of the Montana congressional delegation to vote in support of funding for this new facility in the Consolidated Appropriations Act for fiscal year 2022. Earlier that year, Tester also called on Department of Veterans Affairs Secretary Dennis McDonough to speed up the delivery of new facilities in Montana, including in Hamilton, to better serve Montana veterans and clinic staff. With 2020 hindsight, one can only be glad that he did, given the current administration's record of canceling contracts and funds over many federal agencies. And now, some of the speakers from the Veterans Rally in Helena on March 14th, 2025.
We have several speakers who have come today willing to talk about their experiences and concerns and what their oath has meant to them. First, I'd like to recognize Robert Russell, a World War II vet who has come out today in support of us, in support of democracy.
I want to say my behalf that the Veterans Administration has made me alive today. Yeah. The federal government also honored me with a GI Bill and a college graduation at Harvard. I'm a lousy speaker. Thank you again, and let's prevail.
Yeah. Up next is Jim Killigan.
Thanks to all you veterans. You know, I never thought I'd have to follow a B-17 gunner, but here I am, and my hat's off to all of you veterans. Welcome home. Thank you for your service. It's great to be here with such a great group of folks. My name's Jim Klingman. I'm a retired Army colonel. I took my first oath on July 1st, 1980, when I entered the United States Military Academy at West Point. It required me to support and defend the Constitution and obey the President according to regulations in the Uniform Code of Military Justice. 4 years later, on May 23rd, 1984, I took my second oath and my first oath of office when I was commissioned as a second lieutenant of infantry in the U.S. Army. That oath was slightly but significantly different. It required me to support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, to be faithful to it, and to swear that I would well and faithfully discharge the duties of my office. There was, interestingly enough, no mention of obedience to the President. And while we all know that regulations demand that we obey the President and others in the chain of command in the normal course of our routine duties, as officers, our oath and highest obligation is to the Constitution, nothing else.
Yeah. Lawful orders.
The next oath I would encounter wasn't actually an oath at all, rather it was a creed. It was the Ranger Creed, which governs the character and behavior of Army Rangers, which is what I became when I graduated from the Army's Ranger School in February of 1985. One part of the Ranger Creed that I'll highlight here is, and I quote, "I will never leave a fallen comrade to fall into the hands of the enemy." After graduation, I would go on to serve the next 25 years in the Army Infantry, including 7 years in the Army's Elite Ranger Regiment. I would re-swear the same oath each time I was promoted over the next 25 years. This is the same oath that Ryan Zinke and Tim Sheehy swore throughout their Navy careers. Oh, by the way, the oath we took as military officers is identical to the oath taken by U.S. congressmen and senators. The requirements are the same. So here's my question for the Honorable Mr. Zinke and the Honorable Mr. Sheehy. Why aren't you living your oath? Why are you kowtowing to a President that skirts, equivocates, and otherwise disregards our laws, our mores, and our... What's more, Tim Sheehy is also a Ranger. So my follow-on question for him is, why are you leaving your comrades behind? Your fellow veterans, your fellow Americans, why are you allowing this Trump, Musk, Doge nonsense to adversely affect your comrades? I remind you, Mr. Sheehy, that the Ranger Creed states, and again I quote, "Readily will I display the intestinal fortitude to fight on to the Ranger objective and complete the mission, though I be the lone survivor. The health, welfare, security, and prosperity of the people of Montana and the people of this great nation are your objective, regardless of political party, race, sex, or religion." So today, I demand that you set aside your fealty to a wannabe dictator and find the intestinal fortitude to start fighting for us, your constituents, your comrades, your fellow veterans, your fellow Americans.
Yes.
As for Mr. Zinke, I don't know what creed you live by, but I do know that back in the day, Dick Marcenko, the founder of the modern SEAL Team 6, penned the Navy SEAL Code, which in part stated, and again I quote, "Take responsibility for your actions and the actions of your teammates, and earn your trident every day." So your team, the current administration, is wildly off the mark during this first phase of their chaotic, psychophantic, and mind-boggling governance. And it's your job to take responsibility for abiding that, talk to your constituents, and make a course correction which doesn't leave your comrades behind. Only then will you be earning your trident every day. And I will close with, Rangers lead the way.
Up next, I'd like to invite Andre Zollers to speak.
My name is Andre Zollers, and I am a fourth generation Montanan as well as a veteran. I tell you that because my love for country is rivaled only by my love for Montana. Montana has a proud history of service to this nation, with veterans from the earliest conflicts to the War on Terror. Montana's 12 Indian tribes also have a rich history of choosing to serve and defend our nation.
Yes.
In World War I and World War II, over 97,000 Montanans served. During World War II, the first Special Service Force, now known as Special Forces, was founded at Fort Harrison.
Yep.
Montana was home to African American soldiers known as Buffalo Soldiers, who after fighting in the Spanish-American and Mexican border wars, many returned to live here. During World War II, farmers increased production and the copper mine in Butte was critical to the Allied victory. Montanans know what it is to serve. Donald Trump is a three-time Vietnam draft dodger who has never served. Elon Musk has publicly said that he left South Africa to avoid forced conscription. He has never served. Steve Daines, a Californian, is a former businessman who has never served. Troy Downing, another Californian, has a misdemeanor for two hunting license violations. He did serve in the Air Force.
Uh-oh.
Tim Sheehy, a Minnesotan and former Navy SEAL, was saved by a park ranger after suffering a self-inflicted gunshot wound in Glacier National Park. After this embarrassing incident, he first claimed it was a combat wound, then belatedly said it was most likely the result of a friendly fire incident, thus blaming his fellow operators. Ryan Zinke, a Californian and part-time Montanan, was also a SEAL. While on active duty, he was blocked from promotion to a commanding officer position and the rank of captain after lying about his personal travel expenses. As Interior Secretary during Trump's first administration, the Inspector General concluded Zinke had repeatedly violated ethical rules and then lied to investigators. Not only do our representatives not share our deep ties to Montana, they clearly are lacking a moral and ethical compass.
$33,000 door.
Let us hope you find your way, Congressman. We are here today to remind all of you that you took an oath, the very same oath that we all took, to support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. The domestic threat is real. It is tangible. And it is right in front of you, a billionaire and a man who would be king. Daines, Sheehy, Zinke, and Downing, we have one message for you today.
Stand up!
Your silence is ceding to Trump the balancing power of the co-equal legislative branch of government. Stand up for the Constitution.
Stand up!
Stand up for all the groups being terrorized by the actions of this administration.
Yes.
And by,
stand up.
And by God, stand up for Montana.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Up next, I'd like to invite Bill Stevens to come speak.
Now listen, I want you to look at the back of my jacket.
Give peace a chance.
Now, John Lennon made that pretty famous, but listen, it's not just about laying down your weapons. What I'm thinking about is life without chaos. And y'all know that's what we're going to want in this country. Now that you understand the back of my jacket, I'm going to tell you about the front. This T here, that stands for take no shit from Trump. I'm not a public speaker, but I'm a citizen of the United States. And I've been a citizen of this country since April the 18th, 1949. I'm pretty old, and I think there's some veterans out there that are probably about as old as I am. I got to tell you, I'm gratified to see so many of my fellow losers and suckers. It's just right. I'm sorry. I know better than that.
Yeah.
But listen, I was drafted into the United States Army on July 24, 1969. I spent some time in Fort Lewis, Washington, some time in Fort Eustis, Virginia, and I learned all about helicopters and machine guns. Before you knew it, I had a new address. It was A Company, 159th Aviation Battalion, 101st Airborne Division, Fubai, South Vietnam. And I spent a goodly portion of a year there. In fact, it was a year there. I know people.
We got
Vietnam veterans here. Look at the gray hair. You know who the gray hair is? Yeah. Welcome home, brothers. Good to see you. I can't tell you guys anything that you don't already know and that you don't already feel. We're in a sorry situation here with this in the White House. Look, I'm going to read you something that I wrote a while back. It was a letter to the editor. It's about draft dodgers and guys that ain't got any kind of a backbone at all. And then the kind of guys that run around think that they're like, you know, important when they're not. I wrote this letter to the editor quite a while back and they published it in the Livingston Enterprise. And I tried to get it published again during this last election and they wouldn't do it for me. This is the way it goes. Donald Trump has dishonored, disrespected all of America's veterans living and dead. He talks cheap about our comrades in arms. He discounts the patriotic sons, husbands, fathers, and daughters who volunteer to put on the uniform, stand tall, shoulder arms, and defend what we so proudly hailed at the twilight's last gleaming. For that dedication to duty, honor, and country, Donald Trump refers to us as losers and suckers. Donald Trump is the undisputed champion draft dodger of all time. During the Vietnam War, Donald Trump repeatedly and unheroically avoided his country's call to serve on at least 5 occasions, leaving him gleefully pleased to boast about it. In his twisted and unpatriotic belief system, that is how a stable genius behaves, while others of his age group let die, fulfilling their obligation to America. Donald Trump became what GIs referred to as Jody. Y'all know who Jody was?
He got my girl!
That's right. For you that don't know who Jody was, he got his girl. Jody was the coward who dodged the draft, staying home to chase after the wives and girlfriends of active servicemen while stationed in Vietnam. And we all hated Jody. Donald Trump, aka Jody, is no patriot. He has not the qualifications of a leader. Donald Trump is a military coward. To be precise, he is a military coward first class. His shoulders are not broad enough nor stout enough to support the mantle of commander-in-chief. He is weak, he is ignorant, he is pathetic. But that is not all. Donald Trump is an unsavory lout, undeserving of another day spent in the White House. Donald Trump has distinguished himself as a stain upon the Constitution and his very presence at the head of government as an insult to we the people. History shall have no alternative but to record Donald Trump's name among the various other ne'er-do-wells, misanthropes, and egotistical fools that have flamed out on the world stage. Donald Trump, forever to be known as America's biggest mistake. And by God, they don't get any bigger than that. I wrote another letter to the editor after the insurrection. You know, the January 6th business, y'all know about that, you know. When the heroes were turned loose out of the prison just a couple of months ago, you remember that episode? So I wrote this letter, and it's a short letter, and it didn't do any good. Here you go. There are no words in the English dictionary sufficient to define the abomination that is Donald Trump. There are no tears sufficient enough to wash away the stain splashed upon the pillars of our nation by a mob of fatherless insurgents. My mind flashes back to the movie poster promoting Peter Fonda's movie, Easy Rider. Y'all remember that movie?
Yeah.
The caption read, "A man went looking for America, but couldn't find it anywhere." Can you tell me where to find America?
Montana!
Good on ya! My mind also conjured up this verse for the song we used to sing in praise of our country long ago, but seems to have been forgotten. America, America, God shed his grace on thee, and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. I would fly the flag all the time. When I come home from Vietnam, I was pretty shook up, like a lot of us were shook up coming back from war zone, right? We didn't know how to react, and I didn't know how to act for a long time. And I took the boozing and carousing and carrying on. It took me a long time to get organized. But once I got organized and realized there's no better country on the planet to live, I would fly the flag, and I would defend the flag, and I wouldn't let nobody could talk bad about the VA, if you want to talk about the VA. nobody would talk bad about the VA if you got something bad to say going outside, because I ain't listening to it. And the VA has always been good to me, and I ain't got 10 cents worth of insurance if it weren't for the VA. I would probably not be able to walk. So what I'm really wanting to say is, this is really painful. So what's going on is really, really, goddamn it, this is really painful to see the country being sold by like this, and having a fire sale in the garage. It's just too much. It's just too much. And look, when that loser got himself elected, I fly the flag. I fly the flag all the time. When that loser got elected, I went to work and I got on the internet and I found the mourning ribbon. You know, it's a legal ribbon for the country's in mourning. So I hung the mourning ribbon. It's about a 3-foot ribbon by about 6 inches wide. You maybe have seen them. And I hung that on. I hung that on top of my flag because my country is in mourning, and so was I.
Yes.
So that was all right, but it didn't solve the problem. Then they had the inauguration. Jesus Christ, the son of a bitch actually took the oath and went back to the White House. And I went out to the garage, got the ladder out, went up the post and took the flag down. But I could not do it. And I feel bad about it. I really do. I feel horrible sad about having to do that. Now my neighbors, he was upset. Oh, the whole block, from one corner to the other, we was all flying the flags. And shortly after that guy become elected and inaugurated, flags started coming down and other things started going up. My neighbor to my left, he flies his flag upside down. I won't do that. That's too bad. That hurts too much to see my flag turned upside down. I can't do it. And I know we're all in horrible distress. But I let him do it. You know, it's his business if he wants to fly it upside down. I honor him because he knows there's a problem. But this is just too sad. This can't go on forever, guys. It just can't go on forever. And gathering like this is good to see everybody, you know. But for crying out loud, what are we going to do about it? You know, we got the worst caliber of representatives in Washington, D.C. Oh, right. Jesus Christ, guys. Yep. I mean, tell me, you know, I'm sure that all of them people in the Republican houses of Congress and the Republican Senate, I'm sure them people is probably good fathers and good husbands and decent neighbors and that. But they all got a mortgage out. Donald Trump is holding their mortgage. Yeah. And some of them are lost their mortgage twice to that asshole. And we can't expect nothing from them.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you all.
Heroes.
I also want to take a moment to recognize and thank everyone who hasn't served, that works for the VA or is a spouse to a military member, or anyone who's spent their lives supporting veterans and our U.S. military. Thank you very much for being here today. Up next, I'd like to ask Robin Layden.
I don't have the eloquence of your former speakers. I've actually struggled all my life with speaking, and I always heard people say, let the more well-informed speak, or the more eloquent people speak. But we have heard and we've seen that perfection is the enemy of the good. As imperfectly as we may speak, it's important to still raise our voices. If our voices shake, we need to take a deep breath and speak slower, but still speak.
Yes, yes.
Your voice can be powerful just by raising it. Just by speaking, we can all make an impact with our numbers. Let's speak together for each other. Many voices will make an impact. Today we are speaking up for veterans. And veterans, we're all speaking up for each other. And we're here to say that none of us made an oath to serve a king. Our oaths are to the Constitution of the United States.
Yes.
Many have made that pledge to support the Constitution, not to a king, and against all enemies, foreign and domestic. We certainly didn't make an oath to allow someone like Elon Musk or Doge to tear apart our government, to take a chainsaw to our institutions. I'm a seventh generation American, and every generation of my family has had veterans. They've served in the Revolution to create the country, the War of 1812 to keep us free, the Civil War. A cousin twice removed lost his life in 1918 at the Battle of the Marne. My uncle, who served in Vietnam, died from the effects of Agent Orange. When I was a child, I would stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance every time there was a sporting event on. That's the kind of patriotism we've had. At this point, it feels like there should be no more veterans in my family. Unless there is a draft instituted, I don't think there will be, because the way things have gone, under the current climate and administration, I just would not recommend it at this point, which is the saddest thing I think I've had to say today. Generations of veterans have given everything. Lives were lost, limbs were lost, eyesight was lost, even sanity could be lost. Family time, social time, personal pursuits, education were all sacrificed. And sacrifices were made by family members. Military wives couldn't have the same kinds of careers. They opted for jobs so that they could go where they were told to go, supporting their family members at huge sacrifice to themselves and their families. We did this to keep our country together and to fight forces that would destroy our families and our countries. When we answered our call, veterans could count on our country supporting us and taking care of us in return for our sacrifices. But now the services that our government had agreed to give to us are now called entitlements, and we're called suckers and losers. As though we did not pay with our lives, our sanity, our eyesight, our limbs, our health. There were pensions for many in the past because our country recognized those sacrifices. Abraham Lincoln created medical care specifically for veterans of the Civil War and more, saying, "For him who shall have borne the battle, and for his family, for his widow and his orphan." While trying to unite a divided nation where people were angry and frustrated with each other, which sounds a lot like what we have now. That means of care for veterans was the precursor for the VA, and it has become a big part of our country's great history. What's going on these days is a travesty. Our president, who called us suckers and losers, our Congress is not standing up for us. Our government calls our health care and disability compensation entitlements as though we did not earn them. I don't think you will ever see again the rush to enlist that you saw after 9/11 if this continues. How can we watch this erosion of benefits under the guise of unproven claims by an unelected Elon Musk? A man not known for anything except large donations to politicians and destroying businesses. We stand here today again as a divided nation with differences that look to not be able to be overcome, but I hope we can. I hope that it does not come to worse. One thing we used to all agree on, though, was care for veterans. The people who defended our country deserve that.
Yes!
I don't understand how we could not still agree on that. Every president before Trump agreed on it. It used to be an abiding tenet of the Republican Party. Where is that Republican Party? How can we not still agree that veterans deserve the benefits that they have earned? I'm hoping for a return to the traditional values of honoring veterans. Thank you.
Waters. This land was made for you and me.
You have just heard select audio from the Veterans Rally at the Montana State Capitol on March 14, 2025. The opinions expressed were those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect those of this station's staff, board of directors, or contributors. This has been a Beyond the Deep End production recorded and produced by Joy LaClaire, with very much appreciated production assistance by audio wizard Bob Wall, for broadcast on listener-supported Gallatin Valley Public Radio, KGVM Bozeman. We thank you for listening and for your support.